G'day, we hope you're enjoying our podcast. Producing a podcast is costly, both time and money. If you'd like to show your support and offer a one-off payment, even the price of a coffee or a beer, that'd be greatly appreciated and would go a long way to support us. If you'd like to leave a donation, head to the show notes of this episode and click on the Acast supporter link. Be sure to leave your message of support too. Thanks again.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The thoughts and opinions shared in this podcast are just that. It's up to the listener to decide what is true and what is not true. This podcast talks about domestic violence and death. It contains adult themes and coarse language. If you need help or you are affected by such issues, you can contact your nearest help centre, such as Lifeline on 13 1114 or DV Connect on 1800 811 811. Discretion is advised. Let's take a second to talk about theories and motives. A theory that many of you probably have entertained is this: the neighbour who allegedly was having a fling with Kira may have been at her house upon Jason's arrival, causing an argument, and then, well, it escalated. I myself had entertained this thought. This, for me, was the golden egg, the most likely scenario. That is, until I spoke to Sean myself. A reminder to stay open-minded and impartial, always. I'm Jamie Paltz, and this has been A Valley Road, Episode 7, The Girl Next Door.
I've got myself heaven, I'm gonna take you to the river, I'm gonna build it a river.
Okay, it's Thursday the something of June. I don't even know the date. Thursday the 6th of June 2019. And driving out to see Alison again. And as I'm driving out here, the sun is setting and there's just this really picturesque sunset. It's pinky, blue, orange. Yeah, it's actually quite magic.
Okay, so I'm doing a pretty terrible job speaking off the cuff there, so I'm going to save you from that mindless waffling. I'm taking the hour drive out to meet Sean at Alison's house. This is before our hiatus, but Tom wasn't with me. It was actually his birthday, and he had prearranged plans to go out for dinner with his family. Sean is, of course, the infamous neighbour you've heard much about in past episodes. As I'm driving out there, I'm fortunate enough to see a beautiful sunset, had a fiery red sky, with just a sliver of the moon on display. It really was magical. As it gets darker, I look at the scattered houses that are few and far between. They're mostly Queenslanders, which have a very specific look and are very common around our region. They're timber, usually high set, and there's plenty of them around. Some look abandoned, haunted even. At one point on the drive, I stopped the car, turned the lights off, and hopped out. It's absolutely as black as dark gets. I was reminded of when Tamika said her mother picked her up on Beenham Valley Road at night time. With no street lights, just her, her daughter, her niece, and eventually Jason. I could picture that now. The strangest things seem to happen in small towns. Remember, Beenham Valley Road is in a very small town, Woolvi. Some of the strangest jobs I attended as a police officer were in these tiny rural towns. One thing about small town people is this: they are usually generous, old school, hardworking, accommodating, and all those things. However, there is a different side to them. Despite everyone knowing everyone's business in small towns, they can still hold secrets, dark secrets. With all that space, they can somehow get away with things. Perhaps even murder. As I pull up into Alison's driveway, I see Sean's black Holden Commodore ute there, which is a utility truck for all you Yanks. I'm relieved to see Sean's car here, because Alison had told me earlier that he wasn't sure if he had the petrol money to come and see her. So, my expectations were exceeded. And yes, I have a little chat to Reggie the dog too, and I said, mate, no more barking this
G'day.
Time.
G'day. How are ya?
I know you're there.
Yeah. It's pitch black out here. Ah, oh, here's Reggie. Hey, mate. How are ya? What's going on?
Let him just follow you and lead him wanting
more. Yeah. Hey?
Sean, can you
crack all doors, please? Mate. Hey. How are ya?
And I'm not sure why I kept asking how the dog was, like I was expecting a response.
Hey. Hey, Alison.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Good to see
you. You too. As always.
Yeah, nice and brisk out here.
It is. Come on in and he'll follow you.
Sweet. Thank you. Hey, Sean.
Hello, mate.
I'm Jamie.
I'm Sean.
Nice to meet you, mate. Right. Yeah.
Don't worry, I burnt your number. So. I'm just dealing with the remnants of burnt dinner.
How burnt?
Oh, it wasn't too bad. It was just one.
Charcoal.
It was one particular thing.
It was
scrape the bottom up and shit.
Yeah.
Nah, it was good though.
Yeah, sweet.
So Sean's a shorter guy with an athletic build. He's wearing an army pattern hoodie with track pants. He's got brown hair and a wide smile. I noticed that he always claps his hands while he speaks too, so you'll be hearing that. So Alison had invited Sean over, and she made him dinner, and burnt it in the process. The place had a faint smell of burnt carbonara, but it was homely. After a bit of small talk, I sat down with them and got their permission to record. And I asked how they reconnected after all these years.
So, basically, it was coming up to my stage in the podcast that you guys wanting to know who the 17-year-old was, trying to get a hold of me. And she basically found me on Facebook again. I don't think we ever left, this friend. Mm. But, yeah, so she found me on Facebook, got my number and called me up. And, she's basically just, told me you guys are after me and good catch up, we haven't seen each other in ages and it would have been good, it is good to catch up and stuff with her.
But I've known someone since
a long time.
Moved into that house, which is how many years ago? Nine?
Yeah, a long time. I was 13,
oh,
I'm pretty sure.
13, right.
When
okay.
you guys moved over.
Yeah, and I would visit a lot.
Yeah.
I was living down in New South Wales, but I would visit as much as I humanly could.
Yeah.
So, they moved up there after the second child was born. Before that, they weren't so far away, but then they moved all the way to Queensland.
Mm-hmm. So, Sean, you're the neighbour and who Tamika's referring to, the 17-year-old.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. And this is, Alison, you were saying this is Thursday therapy, you guys are calling it?
Yeah, she is. Yeah. I haven't decided. This is in the text message. She's like, oh, come over for our Thursday night therapy.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I don't, because she obviously knows I'm never going to, I probably will never talk to a therapist. I'm too big. Yeah. Bloody minded and shit, but she's, and because she knows Kira as well, it's a lot easier for me to talk to her about Kira than try and talk to a stranger and about Kira.
Mm.
So it's actually really good, in bringing up memories and shit, because I don't think about it. It's not something you really think about. So,
and how old are you now, Sean?
I'm 23.
23,
yep.
Yep. And you're living in Gympie?
Yep. Yeah, back to Gympie. Yeah. I've moved away six times now.
Yeah.
Yeah, literally.
And I've heard from a few different sources that you've been doing it pretty rough lately.
Yeah, past 2 years just kicked me up the ass. I had the best teenage years, best all the way up to 20. And then basically you got to fix all your mistakes when you're 21, pay off all your bills, bloody get everything sorted. But, yeah, I was just moving houses, like, more or less. Like, had to move house. It's really hard for us to find a house in Gympie. We was three, like, I'm 23. My mate, James, is 20, pretty sure, he's 21. He had his birthday. And his missus, Emily, is 18. So you can imagine how hard it is. And we, because we earn not decent money, we want a nice house and stuff. And we wanted, like, double bay garages. Like, we wanted our Pacifics. Like, we wanted our cars undercover and stuff. So it just took the few months to bloody, to find it, to get approved. But we could have stayed somewhere, but, yeah, we went camping and all that stuff. It, like, yeah. We were a little bit excited for it as well, and it was pretty cool to go camping again. But, yeah, I wouldn't do it again.
So you're living in a house now?
Yeah, back. Awesome house, man. Beautiful house, yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. So much nice long showers.
Yeah. Sweet. Yeah. Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
And Alison, now that I haven't seen you since we had our interview with Tamika, I mean, I've spoken to you a bunch of times since, but how are you finding the whole process and the podcast? How's it been for you, this whole ordeal?
It's been very enlightening. It's been very freeing. Unfortunately, it's caused some issues, but I can't really go into that. I feel that I'm doing the right thing in trying to get to the bottom of what happened to my daughter. Some people don't agree with me. So just have to deal with the repercussions of that.
And what about the people who have reached out to you or at least commented about you and your efforts? What do you make of those comments?
Oh, I think they're beautiful. I write back to nearly all of the, well, all the ones I've found. I'm sure there's other places I haven't found, but you know, I've made some friends with other parents who've lost a child or people who are just interested in it for whatever reason, but I've found this support really overwhelming at times, like just literally reduced me to tears.
Yeah, well, everyone's been really positive and encouraging about the whole thing, and especially with the news of the coronial inquest, most people have been jumping on there just saying, like, it's about time, and I really hope you guys get the answers that you are looking for and that you deserve. So far it's been very well received, really.
Yeah, it has, in the most part.
Just a couple of people.
Just always got to have
one person at least, don't you?
You do. There's always one, at least. But, no, in general, it's been very positive, you know, from complete strangers.
So at this point in the night, Alison left Sean and I alone so we could chat. And my apologies for my microphone this evening. I have no idea what's going on. The settings must have been off. I sound like Terminator holding my breath, so please forgive me for that one.
Okay, so I'm just sitting down with Sean, who is at Alison's house, and he's agreed to speak with me. We actually spoke earlier on the phone, but I sort of caught him off guard, so we're going to do this again. And how do you know Kira, and how do you fit into this puzzle?
So I was a neighbour, and we were originally there.
And that's that clap I was talking about.
Originally there first. We were there for 5 or 6 years before they got there, but
this has been in Valley Road?
Yep, been in Valley Road.
And what's the community like out there? The
Woolbar community.
Yeah.
Like, farmer community.
Yeah.
Awesome. Never ever lock your doors. If anyone pulled in, like your neighbours, if you got your bins, like neighbours come over, your bins are full, put them in your neighbours.
Yeah.
Like, just awesome, man. Everyone around there was awesome. Like, everyone around Woolbar is awesome.
So, like, you go around to the neighbours to get cups of milk and sugar and...
Yeah. It's more just Kira's house because you'd almost, like, even if she wasn't home, like, because that's how safe it is, even if they weren't home or something, you could almost go in and steal a cup of sugar and be like, yo, I had to steal a cup of sugar for my, you know, cupcakes or something. Yeah. And, you know, they'd laugh about it and be like, oh, you owe me a cup of sugar. Or, not really, but, yeah, still.
So who was at your house? Who'd you live with?
So my mum, my dad, our big sister, Abigail, then myself, little brother Damo, and Crystal. So there was six of us.
And so you said to me before that you started off just, like, hanging with the kids and sort of babysitting.
I love kids. Like, I'm one of them dudes. Like, I'm entertaining them, you know. I had a real kiddie mind, so it's a lot easier, you know, sit down and play with kids, you know, when you're a teenager than trying to be an adult. So I'd take a motorbike ride and, you know, play with the toys because we never got toys, so fucking yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, our little rascals. We always, like, we'd babysit them and stuff. Yeah. Whenever Kira would go out, and yeah, same deal, Kira would look after us because, like, it's not that we couldn't stay at home by ourselves, but Mum and Dad wouldn't trust us at home by ourselves, so they'd make sure Kira would come home and check up on us and shit, but yeah, it worked like that. It was pretty good. Like,
obviously, you've heard the podcast and you've heard what, yeah, people have said, Tamika has said and stuff, and what was your relationship with Kira, and do you want to describe that, as you said to me before, with how that developed?
So it all started, like, I'd never, 14, 15, like, 16, like, I never imagined, like, anything would happen, or I never thought about it, really. Like, I was just teenage fantasies. But, yeah, it was literally, like, it's really funny. It was at Dad's 40th, and, like, we're, like, just mucking around, we're both drunk, obviously, having a really good night, like, messing around. There was a few of us, like, we had a few neighbours over, so there was four or five of us, like, we all knew each other and shit. And, yeah, like, I can't remember how it ended up or become, but me and Kira were wrestling and, like, play fighting on the ground, and she bit my ear. And that's sort of how it all started. And then, like, yeah, and then, like, we made out, and then we, like, you know, we didn't even do anything that night, like, we just, yeah, like I had a girlfriend as well, so, and she was there, so, like, it was, yeah, real sneaky, real sly. And then, yeah, we could never be, like, obviously open about it. Like, obviously we never told anyone about it, or it was, like, our little secret, but, yeah. Like, I'd just make up some bullshit, go over Kira's, or Kira would make up some bullshit, come see me, or, you know. But, yeah. It always, yeah, work out. It'd just be fun, like, whenever, you know, the time happened or shit like that, but, yeah.
So you were 17 or 18 at that time?
I was 17. Yeah. I was 17, yeah. It only went on, like, it didn't go on for that long because, like, it started and then it was only 3, 4, 5 weeks and then I moved away and I didn't come back to Gympie for months.
Was it, like, a sexual nature or just making out or...?
At the party.
Or just in general, your relationship?
In general. So at the party, it was more just like making out, like a bit of fun. But, yeah, it led to more. Yeah, like I went over Kira's, like, didn't really expect it and shit. And, yeah, she's like, yeah, I'm going to have you, little boy, pretty much. And fucking, yeah. Yeah.
So it was a...
Yeah, sexual fucking fun and games. Like, yeah. Yeah. So I told the one person I did tell, I think I told my brother, and I told, maybe I told my best friend, I'm not sure, but somehow, like, she found out that somehow someone at the Woolvice shop heard that, like, Wolf flirting or, like something was up between me and Kira, like, but she's like, they didn't know, like, we'd done anything. Like, they didn't actually know, but someone heard that something was up. And she's like, oi, like, who have you told and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, nah, like, fucking, I haven't been, like, going out telling people. Like, fuck, like, I wouldn't go tell the Woolvice shop. Like,
and it's a small town, right? So everyone knows everything.
Everyone knows everyone, man. Like, best part, Like, I'll do is your camel, like the Kira's saviour that she used to go up to Camel's house. He knew people that, like, were in a band, and at their house, a couple of k's up the road, they used to, like, play music and shit. So that and the Woolworths shop were the main people. Like, we'd all of us, man, we'd all, go to these bands and have drinks together and shit. So I was a real close community, that, like, the Woolworths Hall and stuff. So everyone pretty well knew everyone. Like, it was, yeah.
So tell me about Kira's saviour. You just said, what do you...
Camel.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Yeah.
Big, strong dude.
And how do you mean saviour?
So, I'm pretty, like... So, if things got too violent between and Kira...
And, yeah, I'll be censoring Jason's real name here again. So, when you hear a beep, it's for that reason. Otherwise, I'll specify.
Kira would run up to Camel's house... Because he would never go anywhere near Camel. Like, Camel was a mean man, so, yeah.
And yeah. Camel lived on Beenumbelly Road as well?
He lived literally a K up the road.
Yeah.
Like, K and a half up the road or something, yeah.
It's my understanding that Camel no longer lives on Beenumbelly Road, and I have not been able to track him down as yet.
Had you ever seen any or heard any scenarios between... the new boyfriend and Kira?
I never personally seen it. I do remember going over there because I would know, like, I was never home. It was like I was at the stage of my life where I was lucky to be home one night a week. So I remember being home and going over there and her explaining to me this big-ass fight they had. Like, I remember the TV being on the floor, the Xbox, like, everything was just trash. Like, there was shit everywhere. And, yeah, I remember her explaining this, like, I can't tell you details, but I remember her saying, like, he done something, and then she's like, so I picked the Xbox up and threw it at him, like yeah, and I'm like, fucking hell, like, yeah, I can't tell you too much more, but, yeah, that's one thing I can remember.
But you never, like...
I've never seen it, personally. No, he would always, you know, be decent if me or anyone was around, like... We never personally seen him really be a dick. I'm pretty sure my little brother did. Like, I know he's told me before, but obviously you'll have to talk to him about it. But, yeah.
Did you ever see Kira with, like, bruises or...?
Not really.
No.
She'd have bruises, like, on her legs or, like, on her arms. But that is nothing ever new. Like, because Kira was... She was almost like a boy growing... Well, not a boy growing up, but, you know, she had kids, ducks, like, the farm, everything. So if she had a little bruise on her, like, a tiny... I'm not talking a bruise, like, a tiny little bruise, like, it's nothing. Like, it's... Kira, she's tough, man. She walks around back, like, barefooted all the time. Like, you know, she's cool, so... Yeah, okay. I've never seen anything dramatic. No. Like, I've never seen...
So it started off the 40th... birthday, and that was party. When she was married?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So, like, how long did it go for before the new boyfriend to come in? Yeah, top thing.
So the reason I'm asking when this relationship took place is it's obviously pretty important to know if it affected Jason or not. So that's why I'm sort of probing a bit further.
I have no idea when the new boyfriend come in because, like I said, we never messaged or, like... It was never a thing, like, it was never a thing. So we'd never talk or nothing like that. So once I left, like, that was it, I was gone. I didn't even really know about the new boyfriend until I come back. Like, I didn't go asking about it, like, I didn't care. So, I didn't know about the new boyfriend until I come back, I'm pretty sure.
And how long were you away for?
6 to 8 months. Like, yeah, it was a while. It was a while.
Do you know when you came back? Like, what time of the year, what year?
I'm pretty sure it was close to September. It would have been, like, yeah, just before September or something. 2013,
yep. And did your relationship with Kira pick up where it left off?
So it did, like, for the sense of my 16, the normal thing, because obviously... if we're in front of people, like, we just have to be as we have been forever. So that did, obviously. And it was her birthday. So it was like, yeah, let's go out for your 27th birthday. And, yeah, so pretty much it kicked off straight up. But I didn't see her, like, every day or every second day because I was never home either. So, like, I'd see her maybe 1 week and then, like, fucking the next week I took her out for her birthday or something, like. But I'm pretty sure I never really seen her after her birthday because that's when, like, old man come up and, like, threatened me and shit, and then, yeah, I couldn't really see her again, so.
Did he threaten you to your face?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, he whistled out at me.
Okay.
Called me up, yeah, and told me to come over to the fence.
So we're talking about...
Yeah.
Was it nighttime, daytime?
It was about 8 o'clock at night. I was finishing up some stuff for my old boy in the shed. And it was only about 30 metres away from where our shed was their fence. And we had, like, a run of trees and everything. And I remember I could hear this whistle. And, like, I looked over and he's like, oi, like, come over here.
Did he say your name?
Nah, didn't call. I'm pretty sure he didn't, like, he might have, but I'm pretty sure he didn't. But yeah, so he's like, oi, come over here. So I walked over. And, like, he didn't say it threatened, like, he wasn't, like, super mad or nothing. So I was, like, walked over and shit. And, yeah, he's basically just, like, I heard, like, Kira told me, like, you tried to get in with her again, blah, blah, blah. And I can't tell you exactly what he said, but basically he's like, yeah, if you ever step foot on this property again, like, I'm going to fucking beat you to death. Or, yeah, he's like, basically, you never allowed anywhere near her or on this property again. He was actually quite... Like, he was, as his dad would tell his son when his son done something super bad, like, not even bad enough to yell at, like, when he's drilling him, like, he's like, if you come onto this property again, like, I'm going to fucking, like, to your eyes sort of thing. Like.
So he said, I was going to beat you to death.
Yeah, he basically told me, I'm going to fucking kill you. Like, if you step on this property again, I'm going to kill you. Like, yeah.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And how long after the 27th birthday when you took Kira out and the relationship sparked up again? Did the fling between you and Kira spark up again at that point?
No. So she told me, no, that's it. Like, she's like, she backed or pushed me away, basically. She's like, she got this new dude. He's in jail and shit. But, yeah, she's like, he's real serious and shit, like, she was obviously protecting me, like, didn't want him to go nuts at me or want to fucking beat me up. But, yeah, I can't tell you exactly what she said and shit. But, yeah, she put me down. She said, like, no, like, because of this new boyfriend and shit. But, yeah, it was a big no.
Did anything happen while he was in jail?
With me and Kira?
Yeah.
No.
It's because Tamika had said...
Yeah, I know. That, like, that is a lie. Like, I know it's really bad, like, obviously, because it's Kira, and, like, obviously, I would never want to say that.
Yeah.
And as great as that would have been, that never happened.
Yeah.
That never happened. We never done anything once I left. Like, once I left and got back, like, I never even kissed her once I got back. Like, we never done anything.
Yeah. So you had never... had a sexual relationship with Kira while she was with the new boyfriend?
No, because, like, the whole testing thing, yeah. He had the shit. I knew I was safe. I knew. So, like, I wasn't fucking super freaked out because Mum come and asked me, and I think...
So right now, Sean is talking about Hep C. Allegedly, Jason had Hep C, and that's how he knows he wasn't with Kira. After Jason.
Yeah, Mum made sure. She's like, you fucking definitely, because he is positive to this. So I was like, no, like, fucking definitely not. So I think, I'm pretty sure you made sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, and this was when it happened. So, like, I'm telling the fucking truth. Like, yeah.
It's because, you know, because after she got with the new boyfriend,
yep.
she yep. contracted she Hep C.
Yeah, it's Hep C, yeah, yeah. So she contracted Hep C.
You asked?
Yeah, yeah, no, she, because...
Or your mum.
Yeah, that my mum would have made, like, I'm pretty sure my mum made sure as well, but my mum made sure first, and then I'm pretty sure Alison asked me after, and I was like, nah, like, mum already asked me.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, it was pretty sure, because mum was down there at the hospital and everything, so she was, like, pretty well involved as well.
Mm.
And yeah, she made it quite clear, like, fucking, yeah.
So you don't think Kira knew she was Hep C?
I doubt it. It's not something we would have. No. Like, I would have only talked to her fucking 4 or 5 times when I come back.
You don't think so, Alison, do you?
No.
No.
She was planning on being a surrogate and she would not have been able to do that.
Hmm.
So she would have, I would have heard about it.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
If she'd known, and it was only found out because I wanted to donate her organs and... was only able to donate one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what Alison's saying here is that Kira was actually planning on being a surrogate mother for her best friend, Jay. You heard from Jay in episode 5, Missing Pieces. Now, Kira couldn't have been a surrogate mother if she was Hep C, so Alison thinks that she didn't know.
You take Kira out for her 27th.
Yeah.
Nothing happens though, it's just friends.
Yeah.
And...
she told me I had another brother.
She what?
I probably still wouldn't know I had another brother, a stepbrother, unless Kira told me.
Really?
Yeah, so I got a fifth or a second brother, but a fifth step sibling or sibling, yeah.
And how'd you find out about that?
She told me.
How'd she
find out? I didn't believe her.
How'd she find out?
Mum must told her drinking and shit, yeah.
So where's his other sibling?
Toowoomba. Yeah.
And how old are they?
A month younger than my little sister. Yeah. Because, Cradle, my little sister was a month after him.
And that's one of your dad's kids or your mum's kids?
My mum. Dad cheated, yeah. Dad cheated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, wow.
But yeah, lucky for her though. Because I didn't believe it, man. I was like fuck off, like bullshit. And so I went home the next day, like, real mad and shit, like, who the fuck's, like, Ethan, his name is. So I'm like, who the fuck's Ethan, like? And then mum's just like, go talk to your father. And that's when it clicked. I was like, fuck. Like, it's actually Israel. Like, I was like, fucking hell. But I was mad. I was really mad. Like, I'm a big family dude. Like, I love my brothers. Like, I help them out. So I was really mad that I didn't know. And I was, like, 17 years old by that stage. So, yeah.
And you had no idea?
I had no idea. Not the slightest imaginable clue.
I wasn't sure if I was going to keep that part in or not, but I decided to keep it in because, one, Sean told me about it, and two, it sort of shows how close everyone was. You know, that Sean's mum would confide in Kira, and Kira would then tell Sean a big family secret like that. So again, small town things, the plot thickens.
Okay, so straight off the bat, that... the allegation that Kira gave you
that
oral while he was in jail was...
I think that's just obviously it's piss. I know. What's the name again?
Tamika.
Obviously, to piss Tamika off or to start something, but that never, 100% never happened.
Okay. All right. So when she had the 27th birthday, was Jason in jail at the time?
Yeah. Otherwise,
So he shows. That's when she told you, "I've got this new guy. He's in jail at the moment. He's pretty serious.
Yeah.
So nothing's going to happen between us. She pushed you away.
I had her in the we went into the pokies room, and basically I just tried to, as you do, make a move, go up and kiss her.
Yeah.
And then she's like, "Nah, like, you can't do that anymore.
And when was that from then? How long was it before Jason came and whistled at you at the fence? Like, what was the timeline between that night?
And I honestly, I could not really tell you, but I'd only... It wouldn't have been long after we got out of jail.
Mm.
Like, I couldn't imagine it, because, like, obviously, I don't know, they might have had a little argument and she told him, or...
Yeah.
But I don't know, but, yeah, she told him.
Okay.
But yeah.
Would Jason call you out from the fence or whatever again?
So, as I said, I would always be away. I confirmed with my mum, I was obviously away that night, and I was away the three or four times. Like, he would come up to the fence and call out for me, like, want to fight me. Obviously, he was drunk, or as I say, I'm pretty sure he was drunk. But, yeah, he'd come up to the fence, try and fight me, like, try and tell Dad, be like, let him come out, like, stop fucking, you know, just, like, let him be a man, fucking shit like that. But I never heard it. I'd only find out the next day, or, you know, when I come home next, and Mum would be like, oh, the neighbour was yelling out for you again. But, yeah, I'd never hear it. I never heard it once, yeah, except for the first time when he whistled at me and I walked over, but yeah.
What was your movements that night? Do you remember that night, the 16th of July?
The night, 2014? That night?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I was at my friend Maddie's house. I'm 90% sure I stayed there with my mates. Maddie and Lukey. Maddie and Lukey, what do you mean? But yeah... yeah, Maddie and Lukey, because when I got the text message that, like, something had happened, I had my four mates, like, Maddie, Lukey, and another dude and someone else in the car and all gone somewhere. And I got the text and I was like, nah, like, I already go home. So I turned around, dropped them
this
off.
This is on the 17th in the morning, was it?
Yep. It was early in the morning because, yeah, I got there and, like, the kids weren't there or nothing, but... Yeah, it wasn't that late. It would have been, I think, 8:30, 9 o'clock when I would have got there. Because I'm pretty sure I got the text around 7:30. Like, I don't know how I remember it, but, like, for some reason I feel like yeah, I got it then.
And who was the text from and what did mom. It say?
I couldn't remember exactly what it says, but I'm pretty sure she didn't tell me anything about, like anything happened there. She just said, Kira's in hospital. I'm going down to the Gold Coast for her life support and we might have to turn it off, like she might not make it or something.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was it, and that was like, that's pretty, you know, sound text to be like, nah, I need to go home, like, so, yeah.
Okay.
So that rumour or allegation that I'd heard that you might have been there that night.
Yeah. Yeah, that I was that not there. I was definitely not there, yeah.
Yeah. Are you aware of Jason coming home that night and yelling for you? Have you heard that?
What, that night?
Yeah.
Real?
Oh, I'm just wondering.
Yeah, no, I never knew it that night.
I don't know if that happened. I've just heard from sources. I just wanted to see.
No, I never. That. No. That'd okay. be a pretty dumb fucking move, though.
Hmm. That's from Nakoda's interview where he says that he saw the dogs... running down the side of the house. That's why I just wanted to get you to say that
you
either there or you weren't there. Yeah.
No, I definitely was not there. I'm pretty sure I never seen her after the 27th birthday.
Yeah.
Like I may have seen her at the front, or like I may have heard her voice and shit, but like I'm pretty sure I never actually seen her or talked to her after the 27th. Yeah.
Alison reminded Sean there was 3 months between Kira's 27th birthday, which is in April, and her death, which was in July.
There's a lot of time in between there. Mm. Nah, so fuck. No, I might have... No, I would have, because I seen, like, the fight. Him and her had, like, the fight with the Xbox and shit.
Yeah.
So, I did see Kira and speak to her and shit after.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realise that's... Holy shit, it was 3 months. Yeah. Yeah, so I did, yeah.
But I was just friendly.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. I was not going to try and fuck no man. Mm. Like, nah.
And you've been interviewed by the police, haven't you?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
And did you give a statement?
I did.
Yeah.
That I lied in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how'd you lie in it?
I told them me and Kira had no relationship, no sexual, no no sort of relationship whatsoever. But obviously we did. So, yeah.
And that was just because you were...
I just didn't want anything to happen about it. I was embarrassed about it. Like, it's like a lot of shit, you know? Like, yeah, so it's just something I didn't want to have to deal with.
Yeah.
Like.
And did they follow up on that after they realised?
No. So they called me up and he's just like, oh, look, you're going to have to come back in for another interview. And I was like, oh, all right. And he's like, that was it. And I never went back in. They never chased up. Like, they never asked me fucking shit. Like,
how's it affected you?
I don't, like, it's really hard to explain that. Like, I've had so much going on, like, in my life. Like, my life has been 100 mile an hour. Like, I'm a roofer, so I chase insurance work. So ever since I've been 16, I've been, you know, moving to town, chasing, like, stormworks, hail storms. So I never thought about, like, I blocked it out. Like, I only realise it, like, now in the past few months and shit. Now it's all coming back up. And, like, but with other things that happened and shit, like, how I just literally not think about it. And then, like, it doesn't come up. But what I'm realising now is when I try and think about it, it's really hard and, like, oh, I'm almost too lazy to sit there and, like, bring up all the memories and try and sit down and think about it. Like, I literally, like no, nah, I don't remember it. That's it. Like, I don't try and remember it. Like, that's what is getting me, because it's affected me and, like, I'm noticing it affected me now. Mm-hmm. And just everyday shit. Like, shit I should be remembering, but I'm not, like... But it's more like I don't think about my past. Like, I really need to start, you know, like, remembering shit, fucking, you know, just having memories, like, telling people stories and shit. Like, I don't ever talk about it. Like, I never talk about fucking anything once I was 16 and younger. I just don't think about it.
But Kira's passing, Kira's death has...
Yeah.
Obviously, has it affected you in your life? Like...
I think it has. This one perspective. Like, I haven't dated since. Like, I broke up with old love. Like, I haven't dated. I don't think about it. I don't, like, emotionally connect. Well, I don't try to. Like, I don't want to. Like, but, like, I don't really think about it like that. It's just, I don't know. I got my job. Like, I'm fucking, you know, trying to get my life sorted and, or, you know, on the track, setting up my future and stuff. So. I really don't think about it like that. And that's what I mean with the whole, like, memory thing. Because, like, now I'm getting older, I sort of realise, like, I need to start remembering shit, like, remembering all the shit, things I've done, or not shit things I've done, but, like, the mistakes I made, or, you know, just certain things in life that you should fucking remember and be like, oh, no, don't do that again, because if, you know, something bad happened last time. I don't do that. Like, I just talk myself into it and I'm like, yeah, right, no, let's do it, like. But yeah, so I just need, like, to work it out in my head. Like, I need to get out of fucking, I don't know. I don't even know, but yeah.
And do you, have you heard any rumours or anything around Woolvi being a small town? Did you ever hear anything like what may have happened to Kira or anything like that?
We all just sort of knew. Like, it was a pretty obvious thing in the community. Who had done it. Obviously, the cops had rocked up there multiple times. Like, my little brother had heard them fights. We knew of, you know, the fights, him hitting her or them actually getting into fights, but it was just so obvious. Like, it was undoubtedly and that's what everyone knew. And, like, he was the character. Like, it wasn't like he was, you know, he was a nice dude. And, you know, this random thing happened to her. Like, he was a shit cunt, you know, a proper shit cunt, and this happened to her. We all knew it was him. You know, there's no other way about it. So, yeah, everyone in the community knew it was or thought it was.
Have you ever seen him since?
No. No, I remember He used to stay in the, he used to hide out in this house opposite Gympie.
I'm just going to censor that location there just for obvious reasons to protect the person who does live there. I'll have to follow up on that one.
And I remember like looking at it every time I went past, but I never ever seen him. Like I've never seen him once or fucking since I seen him back home. But yeah, never after that.
Alison was busy in the kitchen making us dessert. In her words, she calls it roadkill slice. It's a version of a mint slice and looks like roadkill. Again, her words, not mine.
This once again looks like roadkill pie.
You're good.
Alison's making some roadkill pie.
Why not?
So was there anything else you can think of, Sean, that was since we last spoke that you wanted to bring up or about Kira? Like, how would you describe Kira?
The funnest person you can be around. Like, she's the type of person...
Thanks, Alison.
I never really seen her... You know when someone gets the shits and they want everyone to know they have the shits? I've never, ever seen her in that type of mood or, like, be that type of person, just always happy, like, no matter what, man, just always. Like, obviously she'd get mad and yell, like, at the kids or she'd get mad, but she was always either happy as fuck or she'd be mad and yelling at the kids. Mm. But,
yeah.
That's the only two sides I've ever seen of her.
So you just had a good friendship with her?
Yeah. Like, we weren't even, like, it wasn't even like, well, friends. Like, she was literally the neighbour. Like, you know, as every other, you know, kid would have when they have a neighbour. She was the neighbour, so. But yeah, we were probably, like, closer than most neighbours would have been. Like, you know, we had kids, they had kids, so we'd fucking, and we were both, like, run around. So, we'd babysit theirs, they'd babysit us. So, yeah, we're over each other's houses a lot as kids growing up.
Did you like, obviously, the girl next door, you being young, you probably...
like the movie. Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Straight up, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was a very attractive girl.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, she was very attractive. So this looks great, Alison.
It actually does, eh?
Okay, so I've discovered my oven seal is broken, so I just hope it's cooked all the way through.
That's right.
I'll let you know tomorrow.
Yeah.
When I'm heaving.
It tastes all right. It tastes like it's cooked enough.
Yeah.
So we finished eating roadkill pie and made our separate ways. And I'm happy to say neither of us got sick the next day. So, right on. That was my conversation with Sean at Alison's house. So thank you to Alison for facilitating that meeting and for reconnecting. They haven't seen each other since Kira's funeral. But again, Alison has been a godsend by teeing up that interview, also other interviews with Tamika and a few other people who you're yet to hear from. So I said before, with Beenham Valley Road, I'll be cross-referencing the version of events that I've been given by Tamika and a few other people, and that's still to come. There's still more of that to happen, so stay tuned. A few things about Sean's interview was the fact that he categorically denies being there that night. He flat out denies that, and also he denies any sort of relationship, intimate relationship with Kira while she was with Jason. Sean mentions his brother, Damien, would be able to back up his story and add to that as well, and I have caught up with Damien, so you'll be hearing from him next episode. Thanks again, guys, for being patient. Episodes are fortnightly. A lot of time goes into a real-time podcast, so thanks again. Keep the word out there. And if you know anything about Kira or what happened to her, you can send me an email or a message on Facebook. Details are in the show notes. So stay tuned for a little preview into what Damien told me. It gets hectic.
So at 9:30 at night, it's fair to say that you could hear quite a bit.
I could hear it well and truly. It was loud. There was shit. There was something smashing all over the house. I could hear yelling and I could hear Kira screaming really badly. Like, it was a painful scream.
Could you hear any dialogue?
I did. After it all went quiet, it was quiet for about 2 minutes. Then I heard... walk out to that bottom left shed.
Right.
So he, by that stage, he would have been 20 to 25 metres away from where I was standing. I heard him. I believe he was making a phone call because I couldn't hear any other voices or whatnot. He said, "I fucked up. I done something. I don't know what to do about it."
That's next time on Beenham Valley Road. Got myself a piece of heaven. Beenham Valley Road is a 16 Media production. This episode was written, recorded and produced by myself, Jamie Potts. It was mixed and mastered by Johnny Powell. Our theme song, Peace of Heaven, is by Pete Allen Music. You can find him on all social medias and download his music wherever you listen. Our cover art photo was taken by Joel Poles. You can head to our website, www.610mediagroup.com, to look at pictures and read our blogs. Also check us out on social media, at Beenham Valley Road for Instagram and Beenham Valley Road for Facebook. And please, guys, don't forget, give us a rating and review on iTunes or Spotify, wherever you listen. It really helps us out. So thanks again for listening, guys, and stay tuned. 2,000 eyes are staring to you.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.